All right, everybody, thank you for joining in today for our Web3 one-on-one talk show on Twitter Spaces. The topic of the show is on-chain banking. And today I'm more than excited to have Harshal, the co-founder and CEO of Zed Finance with us. How are you, Harshal? How is it going?
Yeah, I'm doing great. And, you know, like just suffering from the bear market, but, you know, the builders got to build. So, yeah.
Yes. That is really true, and I'm really excited to talk about what you are building right now. That is Zed. But before that, it's really great to have you here with us. And we always start, you know, with a little background, like figuring out the way you had going down into the crypto rabbit hole. Like, can you walk us through your background? Like, what did you do before crypto? How did you get motivated to jump down the path? And how did your earlier, you know, years within the space look like?
Hey guys, nice to be over here. This is Harshal from Zed Finance here. Before we get started, I'll just give you all a brief intro about Zed. So at Zed, like, you know, I am a DGen since a long time now. And for me, a DeFi has always meant to replace traditional banks. But when I started using DeFi protocols, it was nowhere near the vision of replacing traditional banks. So that's when we decided to create a mobile app, which provides all traditional banking services powered by our own DeFi protocols with the user experience of a digital bank, which is so seamless that your grandma can use it without even realizing that they've entered the world of DeFi. So yeah, that's about Zed. So like, you know, before I got into DeFi and crypto, I was just a kid on the internet. I really love being on the internet. For me, internet was path to, you know, education. For me, that's what I believe in. Like, I started coding, I remember, like, when I was 11 or 12, something like that. I bought Ethereum because I didn't really like Bitcoin during 2019. Like, you know, call this degen. I'm a degen till now. 2019, I was a degen. I believe Bitcoin has already reached its max market cap. I invested in Litecoin, Ethereum, everything but Bitcoin. Because, you know, I wanted to see higher scope of returns, like any naive or first-time investor. So at the age of 13, I first purchased my first crypto. It was Ethereum and Litecoin. During 2020, I faced, like, my portfolio was down around 35%, I believe. So yeah, that's when I started to know, like, you know, when you're investing, you got to learn stuff. And then I started from investing, I went to trading. And then from trading around 2021, during the Dogecoin saga, that time also I was a complete degen. That's when I started to get into DeFi protocols. How does Uniswap work? How does everything work? That's when I actually started to get into DeFi. And that's when I actually explored arbitrage bots and trading bots. And that's how my journey of becoming an algorithmic trading began. So that's when I learned Python. I learned several coding languages. I joined several communities. And at that point, I would say I had completely became a degen. So around 2021, around the end of 2021, I actually saw a very big problem in the DeFi Web3 space. DeFi space, to be honest. It was that DeFi was not really serving a good utility. The only utility DeFi had was to get people to speculate on assets. Like, it was just a quick money-making scheme for people. It was hardly serving any real-world utility. DeFi was created to, you know, replace traditional banks, but it wasn't. None of the protocols were meant for mass usage. So that's when, you know, I got my entire team to Discord, connected with Andrew, who is my CTO. He actually contributed to some of the earliest versions of Uniswap. And I found the rest of my team members on Discord, on different communities. And that's when we started to build Zed Finance. And yeah, that's how my journey has been like. Like, I've been a degen since when I was 13. So yeah.
Oh my God. Like, hearing your journey is, like, seriously awesome. Like, you come across as a very sharp and knowledgeable person for your age. And I've heard, like, you're pretty young till now, you know, being a co-founder of Zed. And it's not every day you come across someone like you, you know, who is doing what you are doing right now at your age. How old are you right now?
I'm 16. Like, I'm just about to turn 17 tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Actually. Oh, happy birthday in advance. Yeah. So, yeah, given your age, most of the folks, you know, I've seen they're navigating just the school. They haven't even reached college at this point. So, super intrigued to learn more about your journey. Like, just spill the beans. Like, how did you handle all of this? Like, you said you started coding at the age of 13. Like, most of the kids do not even know how to use the phone or the computer that well by then. Like, how did you manage that?
Okay, so first of all, like, I mean, I started coding at 13. I consider myself late, actually. So we got a member in a team who started coding at the age of 4. So coding isn't really a big of a deal. right? I mean, trust me, I'm the worst coder in my team, right? And that's why I tend to stay away from code. Like, it's a, like, Harshil, like, we are considered at our lowest when I need to code. So yeah, I don't code in the team. Like, I'm the worst coder in the team, right? I just tend to be more on the, you know, more on the high level technical overview side of the things. So yeah, my team doesn't let me write a lot of code because I write pathetic code. Okay, so yeah, personally, like, I have been more into finance side of the things, right? The financial system always intrigues me. Personally, like, at the age of 14 and 15, I really wanted to be in the hedge fund industry. Like, you know, I really loved the people. I really loved how the financial industry works. And that's where the actual power is. So, you know, like, I was always intrigued by changing the world. I mean, that may sound a lot of cliche, but yeah, I mean, changing the world. And yeah, like, changing the world is something that has always motivated me. And when you have a strong sense of the financial system and a strong sense of technology, and you have a movement like DeFi. So yeah, when you combine all those three, you can actually, you know, change the world. So that's what I believe. That's what motivates me. That's what motivated me to start Zade. And yeah, actually before Zade, my first project, which actually, you know, encouraged me to launch Zade, I actually launched a social media for, this was my first time. Like, I've created a decentralized social media with my friends in school, which allowed different schools to connect. So yeah, basically, I have a motto. You either build a product which helps you get paid or lead. So, you know, that's when we created Commune, a social media app. We got about 10,000 users in probably, I think, like a month or something. That's actually what, you know, got me into the rabbit hole of DeFi, Web3 and all. So yeah.
That is really fascinating. And when you talk about your experience, the social media app you created, you know, telling that I want to change the world doesn't sound cliche for you, believe me. So yeah, that's just so fascinating to know about your story. And really, it would just motivate our users to, you know, even our users, our audience, to even work even harder seeing you. And I do not believe you're the worst coder, you know. So it's very difficult for me to anticipate the level your team is in. So I have really high hopes for them. Okay, moving on. Let's put in some context for our audience first. Since we are talking about on-chain banking, it cannot begin, you know, before discussing the traditional banking systems. As one of the users of, you know, this protocol, could be my grandma, could be my parents. So the traditional financial system has been around for ages, right? You already told, like, DeFi has its own problems. It has its own fair share. So could you shed the light on why you believe a change that is a middle ground is necessary? And how does Zade bridge that gap between DeFi and the adoption of DeFi by an everyday user?
Got it. So first of all, I believe, I'm not going to go a lot into, you know, the high level overview of how traditional banks work. I'm just going to talk to the the day-to-day stuff which the people see, right? Because, and then I'm going to go into the high-level overview of why traditional banks have a problem, may have a problem, and, like, you know, and the problems of DeFi. But I'll start with the day-to-day things. So inefficiency, I'm going to talk about that first. Inefficiency in traditional banks, right? I'm going to take maybe an outdated example right now, but I mean, you know, this example always exists. Like, I mean, I don't know, like, who is the Indian audience over here, or maybe in, like, any banks in the world. So for the Indian audience, there's a bank known as SBI, State Bank of India. And we have a popular joke. State Bank of India means lunch break.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but that actually represents inefficiency. Whenever we think about traditional banks, we see people in, we imagine big buildings, people in suits, and we imagine all the paperwork, all the inefficiencies. We imagine, like, you know, going through a lot of tedious paperwork before we can get something. And we always see them as sharks. We always see them as people who are not with us, but against us. That's something which we experience on a day-to-day. And, like, that's the common perception that the masses have about traditional banks. On a high-level overview of stuff, I'm going to talk about some of the biggest failures. 2008, Lehman Brothers. Before that, we have experienced multiple failures of traditional banks, for which the masses have to suffer. I'm not even going to take, you know, an example like Lehman Brothers. I'm going to take the example of something which we faced recently, which we are seeing right now in the US.
Exactly.
All the traditional banks are falling. So this is due to three. This is due to the only reason is inefficiency. Traditional banks are inefficient. And another thing is transparency. The traditional banks are opaque. You don't know where your money is going. You don't know where your money is stored. And you don't know what is happening with your money. And lastly, I believe too much human control. Humans mean corruption, humans mean inefficiency. So once you remove the humans from the system, you'll have a much sound, much transparent, and a system which cannot be corrupted. So, you know, once we remove humans from the equation, once we have a system which is efficient, operates at maximum efficiency, and a system which is 100% transparent, I believe we can have a much better financial system. And DeFi is trying to solve these three problems. But again, when you're trying to solve these three problems, and, you know, you'll always get your own share of problems, right? Because if it would have been such an easy solution, we would have implemented this already. But again, you know, everything comes with its pros and cons. And at Zaid, we are here to get, you know, the pros of everything. We try to get our pros of traditional finance as well as decentralized finance. But again, like, you know, we are just trying it our best. We're giving our best to, you know, basically solve both the problems. So yeah, that's about traditional banks.
Yeah, that is a pretty thorough description about, you know, the problem statement that people are facing. And you are to the point when you say, like, when we solve the problems for traditional finance, the problems for DeFi in itself emerges. So could you tell me, like, what are those problems like? You know, can you give me a brief about them? And like, you have made three protocols named Derivex, Remitex, and Sabex. So are these three protocols, the in-house protocols, helping you curb that DeFi inefficiency that, you know, which are there, which exist in the current scenario?
Well, yeah, first of all, so I'm going to talk about the problems of decentralized finance. And again, I'm going to be very frank. Like, you know, I'm not going to go into the high level overview. Let's talk about day-to-day things. I think we have all used Curve. Like, you know, the DGens, they have used Curve. How is the user experience? Like, I personally believe it to be pathetic. DeFi user experience is pathetic. And, like, you know, I know there are hundreds and, like, you know, like, there are multiple people who are bringing in account abstraction. So that's a really amazing thing. But, you know, there are several other things as well. When we need to bring DeFi to mass adoption, we do need an awesome user experience, which we are getting with account abstraction and gasless transactions. So that's something which we started. That was the first thing which we wanted to do when we started Zaid, right? So that's when we connected with Web3 Auth and Biconomy. And we actually, you know, got the connection of Biconomy and Web3 Auth together. Probably, I think we were one of the first to do that. I'm not really sure, but yeah. So, you know, I think Biconomy recently launched the SDK with Web3 Auth combined. But yeah, we did that. I think it's about a couple years, 1.5 or something, like 1.5 years ago. So yeah, that's number one. User experience, it's pathetic. I mean, people believe Connect Wallet to be the future, but I don't think so. I mean, like, I'm a mobile-first user, right? And personally, for DeFi, it was the first time I actually installed Chrome on my MacBook. So, you know, I needed to install Chrome. And I also got to know about something known as browser extensions. It's a mess completely. So, yeah, so user experience is a big, big issue in DeFi today. Number two, what I believe is that DeFi operates in a closed economy. And DeFi, you know, has no connections to the real world. I mean, you can borrow against any shitcoin in the world. You cannot borrow against your own house. Number three, what I believe in DeFi, that one of the major issues in DeFi is its user experience, its lack of real-world utility and real-world assets. And lastly, this is more like, you know, this is something which will improve with time. It's a concrete brand and a place which you can trust in Web3 and DeFi. So in DeFi, we see multiple protocols. We see multiple projects fail every day. And, you know, we cannot see a single thing which can, where people can trust it. We cannot have a trust. Like, getting trust in DeFi is very, very difficult. So building a brand which can be trusted, that's something which we want to do at Zaid. And now let's talk about Remitex, Sabex, and Derivex. So these three are just protocols which we created for Zaid. So guess which was the first blockchain which we built Zaid on? It failed. Like, the chain went down to zero and it took down entire DeFi with it. That point, like, personally, like, we were using Anchor protocol, Mirror protocol, because I believe Terra was, you know, actually on the track to do that. And Terra, you know, we went in touch with the Terra team and we actually talked with them. We talked about the solution of Zaid, and they believe, like, you know, having an aggregator solution, which is actually doing all the banking platforms, is something which is banking services provided by DeFi. It's something which is necessary. So we started building on Terra. But I think something around that time, we saw Anchor took, I think, a $100 million loan to satisfy the interest rates and to satisfy the liquidity. I think that was the point when I realized that the entire thing is a scam. I mean, like, 20% APY should have been the indicator. But yeah, I mean, it took me a lot of time to understand, like, you know, Terra was actually a Ponzi scheme. So, you know, that's when we decided to create, no, we need our own DeFi protocols. But they have leveraged the technology of multiple other protocols and projects as well, such as Remitex uses Bicromi and Particle Network. Sabex uses HiFi protocol. And we are actually partnering up with a few real-world asset projects as well. Derivex uses a lot of technology. Derivex itself is a perpetual protocol fork. So, you know, we have built on the technologies others have built. But having our own protocol helps us, you know, develop and bring in solutions built on those protocols in a much faster way than others can. So that's why we decided to build our own, you know, DeFi protocols. But the thing with Zade is it's not about the protocols which makes us different. It is the user experience of Zade. At Zade, the user experience has been created in such a manner, like I mentioned, people do not care about the technology which they're using. They care about the end product. And at Zade, that's exactly what we are doing. We have created a mobile app which is created to provide all traditional banking services. By all, I mean all. It cannot be one. It needs to be all. Powered by DeFi protocols with the user experience of a digital bank. Let's say Revolut, let's say Monzo, let's say N26, let's say any digital bank. And the users should not even realize that they're using DeFi or crypto or anything. It should be that seamless for them. That's only when I believe we can achieve mass adoption. So yeah, that's what we are doing at Zade. A complete bank killer, which is powered by the most basic principles of DeFi, non-custodial in nature, transparent in nature, and being the most efficient out there. So yeah, that's what Zade is all about.
You've said that it's a true statement that you have said, and it is just full of insights. And your answer really, you know, it answers a lot of questions, you know, while raising, it also raises some more. I wanted to know, like, you know, the next question revolves around that. How are the user funds, you know, the custody of user funds handled? Because since your protocol is the amalgamation, you know, it provides the services of both, you know, the traditional finance, it has that utility as well. And it on the back end, if I'm not wrong, it uses all the DeFi principles to, you know, to work. So how does the user funds are handled in that scenario?
So it's 100% non-custodial, number one. Number two, the wallet generation part. So we have partnered with Bicromi for the wallet generation. So actually Particle Network and Bicromi, we use that combination to provide smart contract wallets for our users. So yeah, it's completely non-custodial.
Ah, okay. So speaking of partnerships, like, you have Bioeconomy as the wallet partner. So I wanted to know, like, could you tell us some of the more partnerships or integrations you have made thus far, you know, making this concept a success, like, you know, Fiat Ramps or something like that?
So in terms of partnerships, we have about, like, integration-wise, we have about 30, 35 partnerships, I guess. So, I mean, I'm just going to name the most notable ones. So Layer 1 Blockchains, we are working with the Polygon team in terms of, you know, infrastructure which we are using. As I mentioned, we are using Bicromi, we are using Particle Network. In terms of ramps, we are using Transact, we are using Cado Money, we are using OnRamp. We are about to integrate OnMeta. We have integrated Alchemy Pay using Particle Network, as I mentioned. We are using Ramp, MoonPay, and we are also working on our own P2P solution, but we know we are actually facing... We actually still, you know, it's still under development and we are actually working on it as well. It's still in the ideation stage, known as Zade P2P, our own peer-to-peer, you know, exchange, something which we are planning on, but it's still very early to comment on that. So that's what we're using, Fiat Ramps for Remitex. We are also using, Sablio for Sabex. We have integrated Aave as well as we have integrated Aave and HiFi Finance. For Derivex, we have integrated Uniswap V3. So it's based on perpetual protocol. So that's why we are leveraging Uniswap V3. And for real world assets, we are about to, like, you know, we are about to do this. We are about to partner with Swarm Finance. We already have a partnership with the Roofstock on chain and Realty Finance. So those are the integrations of Zade, the most important ones. And then we know, and also I just forgot to mention, We have partnered with Alchemy Pay. This is in stocks. We have not yet announced it. We have partnered with Alchemy Pay and Spritz Finance for providing virtual cards for our users. So yeah.
Yeah, I was actually about to jump into that as well. Like, what exactly would the card do? What the utility is? Like, how could a user, you know, get their hands on it? Like if it, I know it's still in the alpha phase, of course, but help us, you know, tell something more and elaborate a bit more about it.
So yeah, so first of all, the card is right now only available for the US users. So it's a virtual card right now. It's only available for the US users, powered by Spitz. It's a prepaid virtual card. So you've got to deposit your funds into the card. It's a simple transaction. You don't really have to worry about that. And then you get a virtual card on a platform. And then you can use it anywhere in the world. With, like, you know, just like you use your Apple Pay or Google Pay. And we are partnering with Alchemy Pay, not yet official. So, you know, we are partnering with Alchemy Pay to enable the same service globally. So, you know, that's how it works. Pretty simple. It's a prepaid crypto debit card. People have done it a lot of times. And, you know, we are also doing it. So, yeah.
That is actually really cool. So, also, now let's move to a bit towards, you know, the economical aspects, which, you know, you like a lot. So, since you mentioned yield and, you know, whatever it was, whatever the problems with yield was. So, could you elaborate, you know, on how the yield is generated on Zade? What can users do to generate, you know, yield, and like what's the APY and how does that work?
Yeah. So, first of all, at Zade, like right now, liquidity is always a concern for a new protocol, right? But we want to provide the best user experience for the users at all times. Like our end users, the masses, we want to provide them with the best experience. So we have our own protocol known as Sabex, which is a fixed rate protocol. And, you know, we are still building it. It's still in alpha phase. Getting the liquidity is a concern. So, you know, whenever you're trying to get in liquidity for a protocol, especially a real world lending protocol, it's actually a bit difficult, especially in this market. So right now we have integrated Aave V3 into our protocol, into our application. So you get the yield, which is of around 3.67% right now on our application powered by Aave. And Aave generates this yield by lending out against multiple ERC20 tokens. And these ERC20 tokens, I think we all know about the variable rate protocols and how they function. And, you know, since it's the crypto market, it's highly liquid as well. So, yeah. Also, like with Sabex, I'm just going to, you know, put in like what Sabex does. So in Sabex, we believe like the reason why we decided to build Sabex is we believe that borrowing against real world assets is the next big thing in DeFi. With Sabex, what we're doing is we are actually building a protocol which allows the people, because we believe borrowing against real world assets, it's the next big thing in DeFi. So that's something which we are trying to bring in with our partners, you know, Swarm Finance and, you know, again, the other partners which I mentioned, Realty, Andrew Stock, still in the early stages. We have not yet made it official. So, yeah, but I'm just putting it out there. So, yeah, that's what we are trying to achieve with Sabex. It uses a fixed rate protocol because protocols such as Aave and other variable rate protocols, they aren't meant for household savings because the rate is not really fixed. And like, you know, you may have a 2% rate today. You might have a 7% rate tomorrow. That is due to the volatility. But again, like that's not really a lot of a big, that, like, you know, that's the probability of that happening is very low, but it is always there. So that's why we're introducing a fixed rate protocol mechanism for Sabex. So yeah.
That is, that makes literally too much sense. Like, you know, and it's this APIs and yeah, volatility is always a concern, like since the market is always fluctuating. Also, speaking of lending and borrowing, I wanted to know like how the collateral system works, because generally we see like it's over collateralized and all of that. So does your protocol, you know, help has something in that context as well? Like how do they calculate that lending and borrowing, you know, the collateral and everything else?
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to put it out there. Like right now we have over collateralized loans only.
Okay.
We know that credit is like, you know, uncollateralized loans, and, you know, uncollateralized loans are a big market, and you know that's a market which DeFi needs to come into. But that's personally, like with all the solutions we have right now, we don't really believe, like, you know, we have a perfect solution or a very good solution. So that's why we aren't really getting into that. But yeah, regarding the over-collateralized protocols, whenever you're borrowing against a real-world asset, so this is very similar to what HiFi does. So the borrower needs to actually pay the interest on the period which they have taken a loan for, like that maybe 3 months, maybe a year, maybe monthly. So it depends on the loan which the borrower has taken. And then if they don't pay the interest, their collateral will get liquidated and it will be listed, and it will be listed for the people and it will be listed on the public markets.
Got it.
So we are partnering up with a few NFT marketplaces and other, and you know, we are finding out other ways, other very good ways in which we can liquidate their collateral, such as real-world assets. Because liquidating an ERC-20 token is simple, but liquidating NFT, which is backed by a real-world asset, or even an ERC-20 token, which is backed by a real-world asset, which does not have a lot of liquidity, is very difficult. So that's something, you know, that's something which we're working on. But right now, the solution which we have, we are pretty satisfied with it. Like, we believe that it is sustainable. So, yeah.
Of course, it is. It is, yeah. It is sustainable. And you say no solution is perfect. Of course, that is true. It is not perfect, but it, you know, it should mend according to the world. And yeah, that is pretty much it. It's nice to know your viewpoints on that. And I'm really looking forward to see what's next on this specific point. And we... And also beyond technical aspects, there are some, you know, I wanted to, you know, dive into the philosophical thinking. So I didn't know beforehand, like you were, you know, you were that young. But of course, you are a founder. You might have had some philosophical principles, you know, that guided your vision for Zayd and, you know, something of its impact on the global financial landscape, you know, and, you know, what are some exciting, you know, developments or milestones that, you know, our users can anticipate from Zayd in coming years?
In terms of philosophy, what I believe is, like, for a Web3 or a DeFi startup, like, this is something which I believed in Zayd from day one. Transparency is the solution. Once you're transparent with the community, everything is possible. So, like, while you know, I started Zayd, I had three major principles. Those three principles were: help your users make money. Second was, always be transparent with your users. Number three, always build a product which is solving the user's needs. In terms of what I believe Zayd's impact to be, it is I. So that's something which Zayd will always push for, whether it's their first day of working or last day of working. So mass adoption is the key. Being transparent with the community members is the key. Building a community is the key. And providing a service which can change the lives of your users is the key.
Totally get it. And that's a really... really cool philosophy you have, and I can say, like, this would actually help you solve even more problems in the near future. So, like, could you tell us about, you know, what can users expect, you know, maybe a roadmap in the coming couple of months or something like that?
If I'm talking about the roadmap of Zayd, so right now Zayd is live with its mobile application, with its mainnet. So, you know, we are already live. We are providing payments, savings, and card for the US users right now. In near term, we are launching our card for global users, virtual card for global users. We are launching DerivX, our derivatives trading platform, pretty soon. And we are launching spot markets, where you can trade treasuries, stocks, crypto, commodities, tokenized version of all these in a completely on-chain manner. And doesn't matter which part of the world you're located in. So yeah, you can do all of this on Zayd. And it's coming very soon. Like, we are working on it day and night. We are a team that never sleeps. So yeah, in terms of accurate dates, that's something which, you know, which people don't provide. They just give all the dates. It's like JP Morgan giving, you know, predictions. I mean, the recession is going to come. The markets are going to improve, but they don't give a, you know, timeline. But, you know, I'm not JP Morgan. Like, I want to be JP Morgan, but, you know, I am not. So I'll just give you all a concrete deadline of what we are doing. We are launching very soon with our card. For non-US users. So that's going to be number one. Secondly, we are launching DerivX, our derivatives trading platform, which will be available on a web app known as Zayd Pro. This is going to happen pretty soon. We are probably going to put out an announcement maybe next week announcing the public testnet. The mainnet is going to come after that. Followed by, we are also launching savings on inside our application. This should go live before this month ends or the first week of September. And we are launching spot markets on our application. That's about a couple of months down the line. So yeah, that's the roadmap for Zayd right now.
Okay, that is fascinating. And yeah, thank you, Harshal, like, for to providing such a comprehensive look into the world of on-chain banking and, you know, exciting innovations that Zayd brings to the table. So before I want to wrap up, so Harshal, I have a very lighthearted question for you. So do you have any interest in the Marvel, DC, or maybe something superhero, anime, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm into superheroes. Yeah, definitely.
You are. Okay. So if with all the advancements and, you know, complexities in the world of DeFi right now, if you were to compare Zayd to a popular fictional character or a superhero, who would it be and why?
a popular superhero or a character?
Yes.
Got it. Like, okay, so that's an interesting question. As a superhero or a character, who would I compare Zed with? Like, this can be movies or anything. So I believe, personally, I believe, like, I'm gonna take the example more of a real world
Of
person.
course.
Like, I believe Zed. I mean, a superhero, like, I would say, I mean, I consider Elon Musk to be a superhero. I mean, everybody considers him to be a superhero,
Yeah,
right?
that would be something we can say could be a food for thought for our audience as well, and for you as well, if you come up, with it in near future. No, but I have anticipated, like, let me give you my answer. I think it's Tony Stark, the Iron Man. I think, like all the cutting edge technologies you are using, amalgamation of, iron and human plus AI, everything, and it improves the world, saves the world. So I think, in my opinion, it's like Tony Stark and Elon Musk's approach I really love. So
Actually, thank you for providing that because I just got my answer. The answer is Vision from the Marvel movies.
yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's what I compare Zed with. But being like Tony Stark, that's the first thing which came to my mind as well. But yeah, I mean, there's certain aspects of Tony Stark, like, I mean, there's certain aspects of Tony Stark which do not really combine with Zed. But I personally believe it to be Vision, like, after giving it some thought. So those are my views. But again, I mean, like whatever our community wants to compare Zed with, whatever they believe Zed to be, I mean, that's my thought as well.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
really. So thank you, Harshal, for this enlightening conversation about on-chain banking, Zed, and its various parts, its various protocols. Your insights have, truly shed light today in how DeFi is reshaping the financial landscape, and like what could be done to, solve the problems what DeFi has, whatever we think is cutting edge, and what can be better than that. You have made a hybrid system which would for sure, be a pavement for adoption in the near future. So, and to our audience, I would really thank you for tuning in. We had a lot of problems today, and I appreciate you still staying with us till the end. And if you are intrigued by the world of chain bank of on-chain banking and DeFi, be sure to follow Zed's journey and stay connected to witness the future of finance unfold. You can join their Discords, you can look at their websites, and follow us for weekly updates on, and having us with the talk shows like this. And yeah, that's a wrap for today's episode for our Web3 talk show. Until next time, keep exploring, innovating, and embracing the power of blockchain technology. And don't forget to follow us as well. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Harshal.